All right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll start off in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Therefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. So, here we see in verse 20 that we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, you're not going to be an ambassador until you're actually in Christ, because you can't be an ambassador for a company you don't work for, right? You can't be an ambassador for a country you don't live in. I mean, I'm not going to go off and be an ambassador for China, because I'm not part of the Chinese government, and I don't live in China. So, what makes us in Christ that we can be an ambassador for Christ? Well, obviously, it's the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day for our justification. And by believing the gospel of Christ and by receiving that gospel that God laid down through his Son on our behalf, that makes us part of the kingdom of God. And hence, from that point onward, then we can be an ambassador for that kingdom that we now believe, are part of. So just keep that in mind, that once you're in Christ, you're part of the kingdom of God. And because you're in that kingdom, you are an ambassador now. So, verse 20, now then, we as ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, and Christ said, be you reconciled to God. So, that is our job now as ambassadors, is to reconcile people to God through Jesus Christ, through Christ, through the gospel of Christ. So, we need to think about that as we live our daily lives and how we're ambassadors. And I know for myself, I need to think about that a lot, because I don't think about it. With my job, you know, I'm just thinking about getting a package, getting here, getting there. So I'm not thinking about being an ambassador for Christ. Even though those opportunities come up, you know, I could walk into a business, and as I'm walking out of the business, there may be somebody walking down the street. Well, I can stop for 20 seconds and share the gospel with them really quick. And, you know, I don't think my boss will be keeping track of that 20 seconds. But, again, you know, that's just an opportunity to be ambassador for Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ being here in this building. Obviously, as we see outside, may not be fully acceptance of what we're doing here, but if we're good, if we show the love of Christ, if we're not condemning to people, if we share with people the fact that it doesn't matter what you're doing, it doesn't matter what you've done, and it doesn't matter what you're going to do in the future, Christ paid for all those sins in the past. So the sin issue is not the issue anymore. The issue is whether you receive what Christ has done for you on God's behalf. So I just wanted to show the ambassadorship in light of fellowship, because that's what I'm going to talk about today. It's really awesome that you guys are all here so we can talk about fellowship. And Therese, you always question me whether that's a noun or a verb. So.
One time.
I know. I'm just playing around. I'm just having a hard time. So, I personally think fellowship can be both a noun and a verb. But, you know, So up here, speaking about fellowship, what is fellowship? It's fellows on a ship. Well, you're all fellows on a ship, whether you want it to be or not. And here we have the good ship Lollipop. And the good ship Lollipop has ported in Austin, and you guys are all on the ship, whether you like it or not. And in this ship, we have an engine room. Now, the engine room, what does the engine room do? It keeps the ship moving. So, the engine room could be somebody working together to bring us all together. It could be somebody paying money to have us rent a room. It could be somebody who's paying for advertisement. I mean, the engine room just keeps the fellowship moving. Or it could be somebody who just prays for the whole group on a consistent basis to keep us together. Here we have the comms room. Comms room, this is where we're getting fed not food, real food. We're getting fed spiritual food by the Word of God. So we have the comms room, the engine room. Then let's say we have the sleeping quarters over here. So now, I can't draw a ship big enough. This ship would probably be bigger than this whole building. But here's just three examples of what goes on in a ship. Now, is everybody working in the engine room? No. Is everybody working in the comms room? Is everybody working in the sleeping or the, let's just say, the entertainment room? There's entertainment rooms on the ship. You know, you got to keep people from going insane. I mean, if we're all in one room together for like 24 hours for 3 weeks straight, we might go insane with each other. So, you know, that brings up an interesting point. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Because one thing that we don't think about is, and this is mainly because of the society we live in today. This is what we as Christians and as a society believe a fellowship is. We believe this right here is the movie theater, or this is the big arena where everybody comes to see a big performance. What happens at the movie theater? You go see the big show, and you're quiet. You try not to talk to people. You try not to interrupt other people. You get there right before the show starts. That way there's no interaction. And then when the show's over with, before the lights have even turned on, you're already trying to walk out the steps to get out of there. Now, sure. Is there prayer? Sure. Is there music? Sure. But this isn't how a true fellowship works. So it's easy if you're going to a movie theater to not get on each other's nerves, because you only go there for 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week, and you leave. You don't talk to anybody. You don't pray for anybody. You don't work during the week with each other as ambassadors for Christ. You just go there and get your flesh filled, and that's it. So this is generally the idea of society has of a fellowship. And the ship here, now, on a ship, we're all in close quarters. We're in close quarters right now. Now, is it possible that we might get on the nerves of somebody else? Is it possible I may do something that may not rub you the right way? Is it possible you may do something that won't rub me? It's possible. Now, let's start in Colossians 3 so we can cover what we're going to do here. In verse number 12, this is talking to the Colossians here. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Okay, so here we see God giving us the instructions on how we're supposed to interact with each other. Now, God understands that we all don't have the same political ideas. We all don't have the same family ideas. We all don't have the same upbringing. Maybe some of us were brought up in one-parent homes. Some of us were brought up in two-parent homes. You know, one's a liberal, one's a conservative, one's a Democrat. You know, all this stuff goes on. And God is telling us to forbear one another and forgive one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. So here we see the difference between what Christ told the 12 apostles versus what he's telling us. It says Christ has already forgave us, and that we should forgive others after that. Whereas with the 12 apostles, they were to forgive first, and then Christ was going to forgive them after that. So here we see the difference between the two Gospels. But why is this so important? Why is verse 13 so important? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Folks, we're on a ship out in the middle of the ocean. We don't have anywhere to go. We're in close quarters, and we're going to rub each other the wrong way. But can we forbear one another? Can we forgive one another? I know there's probably at times each one of us has had a quarrel against another. But we as ambassadors for Christ owe it to ourselves and to each other to forgive one another and to love one another and to forbear one another. So let's put this in practical perspective. Let's say, well, Kristen and I in our marriage, you know, obviously a marriage is tough work. Now, if anybody tells you that they don't fight in their marriage, they either don't live together or they're lying. So, now, Kristen and I, we get in disagreements from time to time, but we forbear one another, we forgive one another. Now, I don't say, oh yeah, I forgive you, and then I hold bitterness and say, well, yeah, I forgive her, but I'm not going to talk to her anymore. Or, I forgive her, and I'm just not going to be at home this entire week. I'm not going to talk to her. I'm not going to call her. No. Forgiving means we come back together and we start working together as husband and wife. We don't let unforgiveness pull us apart. We don't let bitterness hold bitterness against each other or unforgiveness. We forgive each other and then we start working together as husband and wife again. The same thing is true for a fellowship. We may upset one another at one time or another. But if you truly forgive that person, then you already got your bullseye on people. If you truly forgive them and you're truly forbearing to them, you'll start talking to them again. You'll start being friendly to them again. You'll start smiling at them again. You'll start asking how they're doing. If we're truly forgiving one another, it's, you cannot say you forgive one another and then never talk to them again or say, I'm going to avoid them at all costs. That's not true forgiveness, because what is our example? Christ. Christ forgave us, but did he say, okay, that's it. I can't stand them. I forgave them, but I'm not going to have anything to do with them until we're out of here. No, Christ is with us right now. So we need to look at our example, Jesus Christ. He didn't forgive us and then put us to the side or disdain us. So let's turn to Acts chapter 16. And this is all in light of fellowship. Acts chapter 16. And we'll be starting in verse 40.
40?
Yep. Acts chapter 16, verse 40. And this is Paul, and he has just gotten out of prison. And Paul, in verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Okay, so I want us to focus in on that word comforted. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Okay. All right, and we will be starting off in okay, let's start off in verse 11. For behold, the selfsame thing that ye sorrow after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what manner of clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. And all things you have proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered the wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joy for we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. So again, in verse 13 we see the word comfort. Now, what has the word comfort been in association with these last two verses? Again, out of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. Comfort was in relation to being in the physical presence of other believers. So, whether you knew it or not, there's actually a comfort by you all being here today that you wouldn't have had by staying home and watching 30 images per second. So, you need to think about that when you stay home or you don't show up. You're not getting the comfort that comes from being in fellowship with one another. And again, this isn't me. This is God saying this. So, here we also see evidence of the forgiving and forbearing. Now, in chapter 7 here, Paul is, it seemingly seems like he's talking about the fellow who had been with his father's wife, which wasn't his mother, but stepmother. So we see here that it appears as though the Corinthians had done as Paul asked, and they put these individuals to the side. They took out the old leaven. And now Paul is saying you need to forgive these people and to bring them back into the fellowship. Now, again, in our society, if something like this were to happen where another individual was with his stepmother, they would be banished for life and they would never be allowed to ever come back into the fellowship. Now, Paul was specific to banish these people until a time set aside, but now he's saying forgive these individuals and forbear with them. So here we see the evidence of Colossians chapter 3, where something so heinous in our society, Paul's saying, you know, to forgive them and to allow them to be part of the fellowship. So, and for chapter 13, I mean, not chapter 13, verse 13, we see Titus is comforted and he was also refreshed. So, not only is there a comfort that's associated with being together with fellow believers, there's a refreshment. I feel refreshed by seeing you, JT, seeing you, Mike, again. Samuel, I feel refreshed. I mean, you guys didn't give me a Sprite or anything. I just feel refreshed that you guys are all here. So these are things that aren't normally spoken about because, in my thinking, most people or most preachers just assume that we already know this stuff. And the other thing is too, there's so much truth in this Word of God that it's hard as a preacher to share it all. I mean, there's certain truths that need to be spoken about, and it's so hard to talk about. I mean, if we had 24 hours every Sunday, maybe we could start making a dent in it, but we just don't. So, let's see here. So, does anybody have any questions or comments on that? So far, what we've talked about? Okay. So, we see that there's a comfort. Now, a couple weeks prior, I don't know, Nancy and Brian, if you were there at Steve's place where I talked about courage. Anyways, a few weeks prior, what I did was I talked about fellowship in light of courage. And I showed some examples where Paul was actually encouraged to preach the gospel of Christ when fellow believers showed up. And it's kind of interesting that you would think the Apostle Paul, who is our apostle still today, you would think, this guy, there's no way he would need to be encouraged by another person to preach the gospel of Christ. I mean, that's what God sent him to do. I mean, he had the Holy Ghost power to speak in thousands of tongues. You know, he had the power to heal people. And yet, in Scripture, we see one instance where Paul was holding back from preaching the whole counsel of God concerning the gospel of Christ until two individuals showed up. So I preached on courage and how fellowship actually encourages people to be more bold in Christ. And, JT, with you, a number of years ago, we went downtown, didn't we, a few times? Therese, I know we went down there with you and Sandra and stuff, but...
what were you doing?
We were sharing the gospel of Christ. We were down on 6th Street. We went down 6th Street, and we were sharing... it was like five of us or something, and we were all sharing the gospel of Christ, but... It gave us the courage to do it because we knew we had fellow believers right behind us. Whereas if it would just been one individual, you know, you could have easily got steamrolled by the crowd down there or discouraged or whatever. So,
you ever seen that guy down in San Antonio? Remember that guy that was out there? Was he in front of the Alamo? He was right in front of the Alamo. He was there, just had his Bible up. I think he's a regular.
Huh.
He just... sits there and just talks loudly out in the open to everybody, you know, like he's...
I may have seen him. Does he preach the gospel of Christ, or does he preach a different gospel?
We really didn't stand around and do too much listening, I don't think.
Well,
I don't think anybody was. Actually.
Well, the thing is, too, you know, I personally don't think we need to go down to 6th Street to preach the gospel. I mean, I think we could stand outside of some of these mega churches as they leave for the day, and that would they would be on the same plane as those walking down 6th Street. So,
sure.
But the thing is, we as a fellowship, I mean, maybe you have a family member who won't listen to you. I know I personally have a lot of family members who, they just kind of laugh when I try to tell them about Christ. But perhaps, Brian, if I brought you over to the house for dinner one night, maybe you could share the gospel of Christ with them and they wouldn't laugh at you. Or maybe
if they weren't sly, I could do that.
Or maybe one of us has a friend or relative in the hospital we could go minister to. I mean, these are all things of what a fellowship can do. It's not just about coming one day out of the week and listening for an hour to some message. That's part of being a fellowship. That's in the comms room there. But there's other areas within a fellowship that get the gospel of Christ out to people during the week. I mean, that's ultimately what we're doing. What are we doing here? Well, we are casting off life preservers to people. We are sharing the gospel of Christ to people. Sharing how that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again on the third day. That's what we're doing. But it takes all of us working together to do that. It's not one person. It's not two people. It's us as a fellowship. And every one of us here has a gift. Every one of us here has some gift from God. It may not be speaking, but it may be praying. It may be one-on-one time. I'm really bad with people one-on-one. I find it hard to bring up in the conversation the gospel of Christ. I don't know why that is. I'm not good at it. I have a lot of opportunities at work, and I just let it fall through my fingers. So I'm sure you guys are all have the same situation where you think, man, I could have shared the gospel of Christ with that person, or I could have, you know...
With your boss.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing in my work, we don't have company phones, so we have to call each other on cell phones. So what I did was I set up on my answer machine the gospel of Christ. First thing I say when people call us, you know, Christ died for your sins, was buried, was going to, and that plays over and over and over, and I hope some telemarketers heard that too. So, but, you know, that's my little way of witnessing people work, because they have to call me. So, but anyway, so again, working together as a community, and like I said, there's 50, 60, maybe even more than 60 people here in Austin. I'm talking in the Austin area, within 20 miles of Austin, believers. And, man, I mean, we could set the city on fire for Christ and really get a lot of people saved if we all work together on that. So, anyways, that's pretty much what I had today. We will, like I said, we will be here next week, this room or that room. And Steve Gottberg's going to be here, so that'll be really fun. Like I said, he's a really awesome teacher. And anybody got any questions or thoughts? If anybody's got ideas to get a fellowship built up bigger, or you know, anything. I mean, again, this is all you guys. This isn't me standing up here. You guys are the fellowship. So. This is all of us working together.